Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of Monday Mania here on Brass Ring Media's YouTube channel. If you're watching live, if you're watching or listening via the podcast, thank you as well on Spotify, Apple. Now that we're back on Apple, our feud is complete with them. So yeah, welcome in and thanks for being here. It is Monday, April 29th, 2024. We are, you know, a couple weeks into the off season here with WWE. We're going to talk about the WWE draft from Friday, maybe some predictions about day two on Raw tonight. Also want to talk Swerve Strickland and his use on AEW Collision. I don't know if the numbers are out yet for that. Probably not, probably about an hour or so. If you have them, drop them here in the chat. Would appreciate it. About what Collision's numbers did with that huge lead-in from the 20-point blowout, as I predicted, from the Celtics Heat game. Either way, I didn't pick a team. I just knew one team would win by 20 points because that's the only game those two teams play. So probably not a huge bump as predicted. But we'll see. Maybe it was. Maybe the first segment with Swerve's promo got, you know, 700,000 people and the rest of the show will get 450. So we will see. But, yeah, so let's talk some draft. But before we do that, I want to remind you that we have our Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. And the Guru Sage says is on. Do I look like Guru from Despicable Me or is that Guru? Either way, I'm fine with it. So just reading some comments here for our podcast listeners. But yeah, patreon.com/brassringmedia. You can check us out there. All that good stuff that we are doing. So yeah, check that out. And then Zach and I do content here Monday through Thursday, and also have Robert Viejos on Thursdays. So happy to have him aboard and doing all different types of shows. So yeah, if you're new to the network, welcome. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, hit that bell notification so you know when we go live, or check out our Patreon and or search us on Spotify to check out all our content. So thank you as always, and yeah, let's get into it. So let's talk draft. Friday night's draft. Interesting. Curious what you guys think of the formatting of it, right? Not a huge departure from the Vince McMahon era of the draft. A little bit more orderly where, you know, hey, there's going to be X number of draft picks. Here's the order. You know, felt like in the past it was just kind of like, hey, here's some segments and, you know, here you go, which happened here as well, but at least you knew, like, hey, you're going to see three different iterations with three different representatives from each brand making these picks. So I'll just go through them quickly, and then we can discuss. Hello, Jason. Hello, Tracy. Thank you for joining the chat. Good to have you guys here as well. So round one, SmackDown, picked Bianca Belair. Then Raw chose Jey Uso. Second pick for SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes, and then Seth Rollins. So we'll start there. So yeah, you know, it's kind of the thing of the draft, right? The politics, the all the stuff that, you know, Zach and I doing our picks of trying to build the best roster, which is what we did on the Patreon show last week, which was very fun. We did not have these picks, right? I mean, I picked Carmelo, but that was later on in the draft. Bianca, I think I also grabbed, and he got Jade. So, you know, they were picked, you know, from a value perspective, a little later, based on how they've been presented. I went with a lot of factions to fill out my roster. But, you know, Bianca makes a lot of sense as she's going to be your headline person, probably the person to be champion after Bayley, or transitional champion that Bianca then goes in and defeats, right? So she's the head of a brand, of a women's division that is, you know, obviously pretty light at this moment. And having her is a big opportunity for that brand. And then Jey Uso is more of the kayfabe stuff, which is fine, but a reason against doing a draft in a bigger way than how it was presented, and to have expectations of a draft under Paul Levesque. And, you know, that someone who is going for the number, you know, going for the world title that's not going to win with Jey Uso and with AJ Styles have to be picked pretty high. so that if that person does win, they have to stay on the brand that the belt is already on, so you don't have any issues, right? So, like, do that level of kayfabe gymnastics. It's kind of like the opposite of AEW, of, like, over-explaining something that we know is not going to happen. So, you know, that, for that reason, I think is always a good reason. Keep that in the back of your head as a viewer of why to not be, like, ecstatic for the draft. But, you know, overall, those are fine picks. Jey Uso, way too high, probably, right? Like a third or fourth round pick, if you're being honest with yourself. But, hey, he can use that. He's the number one overall pick for a brand. Hopefully he'll use that on Raw better than Yeet. If I were him, I would be the number one overall pick, Jey Uso, or something like that, in a way that, you know, like Caleb Williams this year, it's like a badge of honor as long as you don't look like a D-bag while you're presenting that, right? I think Jey Uso can thread that needle. Be an interesting gimmick. But there you go. And as Azan says here, Jey is number one in merchandise. So, you know, he's number one pick. He's valuable on that front. But, you know, if we're doing this like a true value draft, I'd be surprised if anybody here would pick him number one overall with the entire board available, right? So there's that. The second round picks, we had Carmelo Hayes for SmackDown and Seth Rollins for Raw. So Seth Rollins is officially just, you know, when's the last time he was on SmackDown? I mean, we were talking like 2017, 2018. So he is essentially a Raw guy. So we'll see in his retirement era, maybe he only leans on Raw stuff. And obviously, you know, locking him in for Netflix is a big deal when he comes back healthy. So that's all good. Carmelo Hayes, again, a reach, but it is good and more is positive. I'm more positive on that as a reach than Jey, because obviously shows they have, you would think, commitment to him, and then he goes and loses to Cody in 10 minutes. So that's interesting. You know, so we can get into that, right? In the show, Cody's there, announces the pick, and then Carmelo comes out and they wrestle, and Cody beats him handily. Obviously, he should have, but, you know, it is, again, like a little bit AEW-ish to be like, hey, here's a big guy. Here's a new star that we're trying to build, so let's have him lose to the champion, and then I guess, you know, they have more faith in WWE to tell the story of what if Cody's champion for a year and a half, and then Carmelo's a big-time heel, and he's like, hey, I remember when I came out and you beat me in 10 minutes. Like, I didn't forget that, and that's why I am who I am, right? Then that's a really good story, but are they going there? I don't think so, but still, number two overall pick for SmackDown. Interesting choice, right? In a good way, you would think. So we'll go to the next round. We had Randy Orton to SmackDown, Braun Breaker to Raw, our first switch of the evening. And then we had Nia Jax to SmackDown and Liv Morgan to Raw. Don't have to go like super hard on these. Randy Orton, important number two babyface and or, you know, potential heel when needed for Cody. So I think that's good. Braun Breaker, you know, your two NXT guys being separated, your two big NXT recruits, I should say, being separated is a good idea. Nia Jax getting some more depth in that women's division, an opponent for Bayley, an opponent for Bianca, makes total sense. And Liv Morgan obviously is going to be going after Becky for that title, so that makes a ton of sense as well. So, you know, I like all those picks. Solid. Again, it's like, where would you actually put these people? I think Nia, you know, who was an employee with the company a year ago and wasn't working anywhere else, you know, I know she's been valuable, but from a, it's like somebody who played college football as a sophomore, didn't play, or played as a freshman, left and did something else, started a business, came back as a senior and had a really good year. You like, they would be, teams would be very worried about that person, right? I know we're not applying real life drafting to this. It's more how I just laid it out, but, you know, it is what it is. So those are fine picks. The third round, we had LA Knight to SmackDown. Makes sense. Again, a solid, easily number two babyface to Cody, who's not going to overpower him in excitement level, you wouldn't think, right? Raw getting or keeping Ricochet. Again, same thing like Carmelo Hayes situation that you would expect him to have a better push as a result. And then SmackDown, the Bloodline, which was not Roman or Rock, right? It's Solo, Tama Tonga, Paul Heyman. Again, late, I think. This should have been a top three pick based on the storyline.
So, you know, you can switch out Nia and Bloodline, I think, make this totally a more reasonable pick, but hey, it's fine. And then Raw getting Sheamus, obviously a big legacy star, re-debuting, and all that good stuff. So, so yeah, all those are fine, right? But again, how many people have switched here? Sheamus was kind of on the fence. He was a SmackDown, but he debuted on Raw to talk with Drew. And then we've got, what, Nia Jax and Braun Breaker are the only switches as of now. So, again, like, probably more issue than, like, where people are picked. It's like, okay, this draft is, like, literally you're switching three or four people a night. So maybe just, like, reveal that in a match of, like, new wrestler for SmackDown is facing the champ. You know, you did that with Carmelo. It's just, like, you could do that and call it something else. I don't know what it was, but what it would be, but especially when the real NFL draft is going on side by side, it just makes this feel even more, you know, juvenile in its own way, I guess, for lack of a better term, of like, you know, why we're leaning into kayfabe in this way, but not in other ways. So let's get to the final set of picks. AJ Styles to SmackDown, Alpha Academy to Raw, Andrade to SmackDown, another switch, and then Kiana James to Raw, our only televised NXT person that was sitting in the Performance Center, right? Carmelo, Braun have been doing stuff on SmackDown. So interesting choice there. Curious to see how many others from the Performance Center are drafted tonight on Raw. But definitely like a surprise pick, I would say. Zach and I did not choose her in any of our drafts there. So, but, you know, she was not on the graphic that we were choosing from either. So to be fair there. And the people picked off the show, SmackDown got DOC, Corbin, which is exciting to see him back. I'm actually excited to see what he does. And then Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis. Raw, with an extra pick because it's a three-hour show, got Baszler, Zoe Stark, Fire and Dawn, and then Ivar. So there you go. That was night one of the draft on SmackDown. You know, presumably more picks tonight, a bigger pool for sure. Hopefully a little bit more change. But, you know, as it stands now, you're going to call up some NXT people, switch three spots, three women, two women, three men. This seems like the ratio they're doing to keep the shows pretty steady. And I do think that is, you know, not off the table that, you know, the first Netflix shows being right as you're getting into Rumble and Mania season, having everybody on Netflix for the first 4 months as like Russ, you know, super Netflix WrestleMania season, whatever they're going to call it, makes a lot of sense. So these are probably not huge moves because they're going to do some bigger moves at the start of 2025. But that's just me guessing. Yeah, Zahn in here again, saying Punk, Drew, staying on Raw for sure. I would agree. You know, we'll see. The fact that one of those two would get past the first round is, again, another reason to pre-roll your eyes and just get it out of your system to enjoy the show as it is. Because, you know, if the champions are not available and I can't draft Roman or The Rock, you know, on a consistent basis, Punk, Drew, Sammy, Sammy's stuck on the show. So Punk, Drew, Gunther are the top three guys. Then Randy and LA Knight, maybe. I don't know. You let me know if the non-champion singles fighters, but Drew and Punk are definitely the top three. So they should go 1-2, but they obviously won't. So we'll see about that. You know, if you have any other people, like who do you think from NXT is going to pop up? I was surprised that Roxanne Perez didn't pop up. Like you could do a thing where she gets drafted and then loses tomorrow night as whatever, or she can do both shows for a minute. You know, anyone else around, obviously Trick is there. Maybe she can't be drafted because she's the champion. So, yeah, Dragunov for sure. Thank you, Azan. OTM. Yeah, you know, I'm all about the OTM. So, but yeah, Dragunov for sure. So where does he go, right? Do you want to, you would think Raw just because it has more time to fill and give people better stories. But, you know, there's also a lot to, you know, it's hard to break through on either show. So what's the best for him? I don't know. probably a show where you can wrestle a Gunther early, maybe have a feud there where he loses, but have like an awesome match and gives Gunther something to do before he takes on somebody. Or, you know, Gunther probably going to SmackDown anyway. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. Because he's available as well. So I guess you could do Punk, Gunther, and then Drew, and that have it make sense, right? So, yeah, we'll see if Pillman Jr. gets drafted. He seems like more of a main roster guy than NXT guy, so maybe he will. Who knows? But yeah, so we'll see about that tonight. You know, save comments, not comments, but, you know, we'll know who gets drafted tonight for the flagship show tomorrow here on YouTube. So, you know, we will know when we know, and we'll talk about it then, me and Zach. So, or Zach and I should say, to get proper grammar there live on the air. So let's move. Unless you have anything else to say about the draft, let's move on to Collision, which I was excited to watch for the first time in a long time. I even watched the last 2 minutes of that bad Celtics and Miami Heat game to make sure I didn't miss anything. And then there was a wall of commercials separating the two, which I don't think helped for the lead-in. But hey, maybe people were watching the game, went to the bathroom, and came back, left the TV on, and saw Swerve Strickland. And maybe that's, you know, it's also 1995 and that actually works, right? So, you know, we'll see the rating. I don't think that helped. But we'll see. But Swerve Strickland opens the show, makes his case for him as a character in a way that he has not done really since his face turn, right? His post-Texas Death Match, getting over with the crowd, all that stuff. And I thought this was a good promo, right? I mean, I don't think it was the greatest promo ever, but I think it did enough to establish like what he is as a champion. He talked about, which was insane, that like another character in AEW is talking about another story outside of himself. Very hard to do in wrestling in general, not just AEW. Talked about the Elite taking out Tony Khan. And then, you know, thankfully later in the show, which AEW doesn't typically do this, but Tony Khan saying, or no, Swerve Strickland saying, we're not going to see Tony Khan for a while healthy, being written off TV. And then Tony Schiavone saying that Tony Khan has agreed to the match between, or has made the match between Claudio and Swerve. Jumping ahead a little bit here, I was like, okay, great. We just wrote him off and undercutting Swerve in this promo, Tony, by saying Tony made this match. But later on, Tony Schiavone said that, you know, Tony would be able to run the company virtually but can't travel. So I like that cleanup. I was about to destroy it, and then I was like, okay, cool. You guys cleaned it up, or it was planned, what have you. So I like that nugget. But, yeah, I mean, Swerve talking about all stuff, all the things he went through, with the crowd accepting him and just not liking the way that the EVPs and the Elite conduct their business. Definitely a collision course there of EVPs running roughshod on AEW television since Tony's not there, and Swerve being the main antagonist as the AEW world champion, right? So I like that. Zahn in here, I would agree with you. Saying that Strickland and Nana are headed for trouble. You know, who does Nana side with? I think it's an interesting pairing here. I've been, you know, I was on the, I think Swerve has to drop, even though it's fun, has to drop him as a manager to be main event. And I, you know, I've happily been mistaken on that, but I do think, you know, Nana turning on Swerve, absolutely betraying him, helps get Swerve over even more as a babyface. And, you know, is that, you know, Wednesday when you find out who Swerve's opponent is for Double or Nothing, or does it help happen more down the line? I think it's an interesting case study there. You know, having Nana Swerve, you know, do the Swerve dance over Swerve's, you know, body after he's been beaten down by somebody is a good image for heel Nana and Swerve. But, you know, also, like, what is Nana going to do when he's not with Swerve? So I would worry about that from a character standpoint. But yeah, certainly there. And as Zach says here, and Tracy agrees, I think, with the sentiment as well, if I'm reading the timeline there correctly, appreciating Swerve putting himself on the opposite side of the Elite. Yeah, I mean, it puts him, if you're going to do Blood and Guts, Swerve is the vanguard of the good guys in the company and the Elite being, you know, the bad guys in the company. Tried and true pro wrestling, but it's a longer term storyline that builds week in and week out. It makes you want to watch the television product week in and week out, which is what I and many others have been complaining about. You know, we love the good matches, but something like that, one segment a week that you need to watch the through line, is a reason to watch week in and week out and to watch Collision, right? Like, I've self-admitted, like, I very rarely watch Collision live, and I went on my way to make sure I could watch this one live. So, you know, I think all of this is good, and for, you know, where I was last Thursday talking about the Tony Khan beatdown, and we'll get into that later, right? Zach and I were talking about the Harvey Weinstein comment, the Pepsi comment, right? So just I need another day to process it to give you a formulated opinion on that. But, you know, it's looking more positive than I initially thought of them cashing this into a real major angle of what's the biggest story of the company. And it is Swerve as the defender of AEW with maybe a Moxley and an Adam Copeland, right? People that have all said this in recent weeks, taking on what is the rot, the bad part of AEW, which is the Elite, right? From a storyline perspective, is good. And I like it a lot. And I think we're going in that direction. I have more faith that we are. And we're not just going to drop it. And it's going to be a big angle across many shows in different ways. So, you know, I'm thumbs up on all that. The rest of the show I liked as well. Obviously, the main event, opening and closing with Swerve Strickland, is a great idea for your world champion. I hope that the rating doesn't come in. And that's at a different time with a lead in on a Saturday night show. And if it's the same, then Tony's going to be like, oh, well, that didn't work. We have to not do this, right? You got to – he's your world champion. You got to continue opening, closing shows with your world champion. It's tried and true, the way to go. Should have been the way with MJF the whole time. You know, not just the 8:45 or the 8:55 into the 9:10 segment to get both hours. Just open, close your show. Think of how Raw does it when Raw's been really well. SmackDown, right? The shows that the middle might be a little soft, but you're opening and closing with Cody on Raw and the Bloodline on SmackDown, right? It's tried and true. It works. It's great. So continue to hope that that is the result there. And, you know, great match between Claudio and Swerve. They built, you know, Swerve had an open challenge. Claudio came out, stared him down. It's where Claudio is on the card. It doesn't need a ton of build. So it was set up, and it was not just an image of these two guys. So I like that. As Zach said as well, Rey Fénix, his match was great as well. So, yeah, I mean, everything on the show was well worked. I mean, they had the debut of oh, my gosh, I'm forgetting their names. They were they an NXT group? Oh, no, they were NXT UK guys, the Grizzled Young Vets. So that was good to see them back. Roosh is back. Yeah, I was thinking, I was actually thought, where's Roosh at a couple weeks ago? Which I never thought I would say to myself. You know, Bandito, same way. Grizzled Young Vets, thank you, Zach. Oh, and Zon. You guys are right there. I'll have my back. Oh, and Jason, look at you guys. So you guys are all very excited about the Grizzled Young Vets being in AEW. So, grit your teeth, yeah. Sorry. But we know what they are, right? So, you know, a debut there, I think that's good foundation for matches on TV. Can have a great match with FTR on that show that you can build to. So that was a big plus as well. So I really liked Collision. I mostly liked Dynamite last week with the angle at the end that I was unsure was going to get advanced in the way it needed to, but it looks like it is. So that's good. Zach saying that Max Caster needs a break. Yeah, I would agree. Hopefully people will cheer him when he comes back. If not, you know, that can be a heel gimmick too. So I know Wade is not happy about that. Wade Keller, I think the world's biggest Max Caster fan. But, yeah, he needs a break as well. So, yeah, I like the show. So, like, you know, basically liked all of Dynamite, was worried about where they're going at the end. Did not love SmackDown. Probably will not love Raw tonight based on it being
you know, draft related. A high pick will probably lose to somebody. All that sort of stuff. Oh yeah, and then Rampage. Didn't even talk about that. Thank you, Zone. Yeah, the parking lot brawl, super fun. You know, 3 hours of TV is a lot. So I watched that later. I did not watch that live. I stopped with Collision, but it was very fun. It was a great show to fast forward through the stuff I didn't want to watch. So, and that's not shade. I'm just telling you, like, you know, some of those matches, you know, it's going to happen, which is all of them, except for the parking lot brawl. I mean, I thought Trent was going to win, but it's easy to, you know, skip the first 5 minutes of what is going to be a 10 minute match and watch the good stuff at the end, right? Let's just be honest. We all do it. So, yeah, Deanna being heel. Yeah, more happened on Rampage, honestly, than on Collision, right? And Toni Storm essentially being a face, that's good for Deanna to turn. So it's another, like, big complaint I've had about AEW for a long time is, like, no one is affiliated in the right way. You know, when Swerve talked about the Elite, they got booed on Collision. That was awesome. So it seems like people are being aligned correctly. Deanna taking on Toni Storm or Willow in the future makes a lot of sense and is more value than being the third or fourth heel or babyface on the show. To be the number two heel is there. Zach's asking if Trent would be a good fit for Don Callis. You know, it would get him heat, Trent. So I'm not opposed to it, especially Powerhouse Hobbs out. You know, the logical play there would be a Lance Archer or Wardlow, right? That's the meat division. Miro, if you wanted to give Miro something to do, but none of those feel right. So Trent, I think, feels better than any of those options. And Trent can work. He can take a pin if he's tagged with Takeshita, which is important. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. But, so, yeah, that's where we are this week, right? That's like, you know, I liked Dynamite. I like Collision and Rampage. I did not like SmackDown. I'm probably not going to like Raw based on the draft thing. So, look at that. Maybe the tide is turning with the more preferable weekly show. And Dynamite seems in Dynamite AEW. You know, Dynamite's the flagship show, obviously. In Winnipeg this week, should be a lot of heat when Kenny comes out and the Elite confront him. I'm very excited to see that. I think that's going to draw a rating. Maybe not, but it'll maintain a strong base audience, you know, more so than the video almost, right? That's a real pro wrestling story, and you want to see how those guys interact, right, on camera. So, yes, yeah, Zach, it's spinning again. Correctly. So I think that'll do it for me today, but, you know, look out for all those draft picks night two on Raw. Is anyone, surprisingly, I don't think there's any free agents to speak of, but maybe you'll get a crazy debut there. But yeah, we'll talk. Zach and I will be back tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern time here on YouTube. So hit that bell notification if you want to make sure you see us live. But until then, I will catch you guys later, and I appreciate it. And